Hey, it's Paul, Monday, February 24th, 2026. I want to talk about what happens when your tools start needing tools. There's a concept in manufacturing called the machine that builds the machine. Elon Musk talks about it a lot, the idea that the factory itself is the real product, not the car. And there's something genuinely profound in that framing, but there's also something it conveniently leaves out. The machine that builds the machine still breaks, and when it breaks differently than the thing it's building. It breaks in ways that are harder to diagnose, more expensive to fix, and more disruptive when they cascade. You're not just debugging a product anymore, you're debugging the system that produces the product. And the failure modes of production systems are categorically different from the failure modes of the things they produce. I ran into this today. I've got an automated pipeline. It manages code across multiple projects, handles quality checks, routes work to different AI models depending on the task, sends notifications, retries when things fail. And today, it shipped real work, meaningful features across multiple products, a podcast RSS feed, a full content schema for a learning platform, newsletter content delivered in new formats. The output was genuine. But the pipeline itself consumed more attention than anything it built. Over 30 commits to the pipeline, fixes to its retry logic, fixes to how it parses signals between steps, fixes to how it handles dates, and I mean it went through 5 different approaches to figuring out what today means before settling on one. Credential syncing, configuration extraction, notification branding. Each fix was reasonable, each one addressed a real problem, and collectively, they represent a day where the infrastructure of doing work became the primary work. Here's the thing. This isn't a software problem. This is an organizational pattern that shows up everywhere. Think about any company that's invested heavily in process improvement. Agile transformations, DevOps pipelines, OKR frameworks, knowledge management systems. The pattern is always the same. You build a system to reduce friction in how work gets done, and for a while it does exactly that. Things move faster. People spend less time on coordination overhead. The system is earning its keep. Then the system starts generating its own friction. The agile ceremonies take up half the week. The CI/CD pipeline needs a dedicated team to maintain. The OKR process requires a full quarter of planning to set up the next quarter. The knowledge management system has so many templates and taxonomies that people start keeping their real notes in a separate doc. You've seen this. Everyone's seen this, and the usual diagnosis is that people overcomplicated it, or they lost sight of the original goal, or they need to go back to basics. But I think the real diagnosis is simpler and more uncomfortable. Every system that reduces friction eventually generates friction proportional to its own complexity. Not because anyone did anything wrong, because that's what complex systems do. They accrete configuration, they develop edge cases. They require expertise to operate that didn't exist when they were simple. My pipeline today needed per-project Discord notification colors. It needed per-step model routing, one AI model for development work, a different one for quality review. It needed a global config file extracted to a standard location. It needed step filters so you could run only part of the pipeline. Each of these is a response to a legitimate need. And each one is a knob that someone has to understand, set correctly, and occasionally debug. Automation doesn't eliminate human judgment. It relocates it to configuration. And configuration is judgment in disguise. It's every decision you made about how the system should behave, frozen into a file that you'll forget you wrote until it causes a problem you don't understand. Here's where it gets interesting, though, because today also surfaced something I think matters more than the pipeline question. One feature, a podcast RSS feed, took 12 attempts to ship, 12 separate pull requests generated from a single task. The pipeline kept trying, write the code, run the checks, fail, retry. Eventually, it landed. Meanwhile, a different project moved through 6 sequential tasks, database tables, content schemas, access policies, admin layouts, and each one landed on the first try. The difference wasn't that one project was harder than the other in some abstract sense. The RSS feed had more surface area for ambiguity. Authentication, audio file serving, Apple Podcast compatibility requirements. These are domains where correct is defined by external systems with their own opinions. The database schemas were internally defined. The spec was clear because we wrote the spec. 12 retries on one feature is a signal, and it's not a signal about the pipeline's competence. It's a signal about the relationship between automation and ambiguity. When the problem is well defined, create a table with these columns and these access policies, automation is spectacular. When the problem involves negotiating with external constraints, interpreting partial specifications, making judgment calls about trade-offs, automation thrashes. This maps directly onto something I see in organizations adopting AI tools. The work that gets automated first and best is the work that was already well specified. Reports, data transformations, templated communications, scheduling, the work that resists automation or that automation makes worse is the work that requires navigating ambiguity. Strategy, relationship management, editorial judgment, anything where the definition of done is itself part of the problem. And the dangerous middle ground is work that looks well specified, but isn't. An RSS feed sounds like a technical specification. It has a standard, there's an XML format, but the actual implementation involves dozens of micro decisions about authentication flows, caching behavior, content formatting, and platform-specific quirks. The spec is a map, but the territory has 12 retries worth of surprises in it. The third thing I noticed today, and this is the one I think has the longest tail, is that across three different products, the bottleneck shifted to the same place simultaneously. One product started putting full content in emails instead of just links. Another restructured its entire data model around content taxonomy and learning design. A third shipped a newsletter literally titled "The Bottleneck Moved." Three different products, three different domains, all arriving at the same conclusion. The platform isn't the hard part anymore. The content is. This matters because it represents a phase transition in what building means. When you're early, building means architecture, databases, APIs, authentication, deployment. The pipeline is perfect for this. It can scaffold infrastructure all day long. But once the scaffolding is up, the question changes from can we build it to what should be on it and how should it reach people. Those are editorial questions, curatorial questions. They require taste, judgment, and an understanding of the audience that no amount of retry logic will produce. And this is exactly the transition that most organizations are about to face with AI. The first wave, we're in it now, is about using AI to build faster, ship more code, generate more content, automate more processes. The second wave, which is arriving whether we're ready or not, is about figuring out what's worth building in the first place. AI can help you produce. It cannot yet help you decide what's worth producing. And the gap between those two capabilities is where the next decade of professional value lives. So here's what I'm sitting with tonight. I spent a day where an automated system produced real, meaningful output across multiple projects, and that same system required more of my attention than any of the projects it was serving. Both of those things are true at the same time. The system works, and the system is expensive to operate. The output is real, and the overhead is real. The question I don't have an answer to yet, is there a stable equilibrium, or does every production system eventually consume as much energy as it produces? And if there isn't a stable equilibrium, if the machine that builds the machine always needs its own machine, then what does that mean for how we think about the value of automation in the first place? I suspect the answer isn't, don't automate. The answer is probably closer to know what you're buying. Every system that removes one kind of friction introduces another kind. The question isn't whether the trade-off exists. The question is whether you're honest about what it costs. That's the reflection for today. Talk to you tomorrow.